Welcome back, everybody, to Common Sense Revisited. You've tuned in. We're broadcasting live February 9th, 2013, on the Republic Broadcasting Network, also being simulcast live on the No Agenda Stream at noagendastream.com. So in the morning to you, no agenders. We're visiting with Roger Sales, author of the book From Sovereign to Serf. And Roger's joining us from Argentina, where he's been living for the last 4.5 years. And we're discussing how government has been ruling by treachery and deception of words. And we're working on the definition of the term non-citizen national, which appears on the passport application, which is one of the foundational conduits to understanding how we are all actually have conscripted to be property of the federal government. Go ahead, Roger.
Let me, before I get into this IRS thing, I just stumbled on this quote right before the show, and this is very instructive, I think. It's from an old court case. It's, the site is 9 Peters 692. It's that old set of, books back hell in the early 1800s, late 1700s. And this little site says this. It, parentheses, a passport, is a document which, from its nature and object, is addressed to foreign powers, purporting to only be a request that the bearer of it may pass freely and safely, and is to be considered rather in the character of a political document by which the bearer is recognized in foreign countries as an American citizen, and which, by usage and the law of nations, is received as evidence of that fact. But this is a very different light from that in which it is to be viewed in a court of justice, where the inquiry is as to the fact of citizenship. It is a mere ex parte citizen. It is a mere ex parte certificate, and if founded upon any evidence produced by the Secretary of State establishing the fact of citizenship, that evidence, if of a character admissible in a court of justice, ought to be produced upon the trial as higher and better evidence of the fact. So it's not just the passport, it's the evidence that is the foundation of the passport. That's your declaration that it says you can attach to the application in the warning box, couched in that warning, or they're going to geld you. Okay? So anyway, I thought that was important. And I wanted to take it on the other side to show you the stark difference here. Because take it, as we've discussed, that you can only get your rights from one of two places. You can either get your rights from God, where you owe your duties, or you can get your rights from man and the federal government under civil rights, where you owe the duties. And one of the duties of that relationship is taxation. Okay?
So, Roger, what was the source of what you just read again? Could you say that slowly?
That is from the Supreme Court Book 9, the number 9, Peters, P-E-T-E-R-S, 692 is the page number. And I'm not sure I can pronounce the style of the case. It's, I'll spell it, U-R-T-E-T-I-G-I-V-D- hyphen capital A R B E L Arbel Darbel 9 Peters 692.
Excellent. That's all. I've got that written down. We'll get that sourced in the show links, and we're going to take another quick break. We're in the second hour, folks, visiting with Roger Sales. We have Ed Brotherton on hold on line two. I'm going to go to him when we come back, Roger, and see what his question is, and we'll be right back after this break.
Okay.
Right now, food is everywhere. If you want it, you can buy it. For now. When the coming crisis occurs, how will you feed your family? Will healthy nutrition be available? The answer is probably no. Jeff Lawton will show you how to survive the coming crisis in an abundant way with permaculture. Jeff Lawton is a permaculture designer, teacher, and consultant who has shown people like you People in 35 countries around the world. People who want to know what they can do to survive the crisis that they see approaching. There is an absolutely free video online that will help you discover how to survive by giving you step-by-step instructions in establishing food forests that will help you become survival competent. Log on to jefflawton.org right now. This free video will only be available for a limited time. That's jefflawton.org. GeoffLawton.org. Survival is not optional. Visit jefflawton.org today.
$4, $5, $6, even $7 a gallon? According to fuel industry insiders and economic experts, those are the forecasted fuel prices, with no end in sight. Fight back fuel prices with a fuel saver from airfusionsystems.com. These fuel savers can save you from 20 to 40%. They're designed to fit any vehicle, from compacts to SUVs to transport trucks. The fuel saver works on all gas, diesel, even propane engines. Easy do-it-yourself installation in about 15 minutes. And the best part? No engine modifications, no computer chipping, no running wires, no chemicals, no water, no running costs, and no maintenance. And these fuel savers come complete with all parts and accessories. See how it works at airfusionsystems.com, spelled A-I-R-F-U-S-I-O-N, systems.com. Or call 888-887-9981, 888-887-9981. Fuel savers from airfusionsystems.com. Save fuel, save money, save earth.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Back, everybody. Revisiting Common Sense here on the Republic Broadcasting Network with Roger Sales and Corey Ive. And before we go to Ed Brotherton, who's on hold, you sent me that quote, Roger, over Skype during the break, and it's a heavy-duty quote, and I will get it up at the blog here so people can check it out. But can you give me the elevator speech on why that quote's so important?
Well, it tells you the Secretary of State's the authority, and it tells you that the passport is this document that you recognized all over the world as to your, it's a political document. So they're talking about political status here. Mm-hmm. And that even if it comes into recognized all over the world is one thing, but if it comes into a court of law, it's the underlying document that rules. What's the underlying document is whatever your declaration is. You know, in my book, in the back of the book is the 5-page affidavit that I posted in the property records of Bay County, Florida, Panama City, my hometown, back in 1992 on December 31st. And that's the same affidavit that 20 to 15 years later I sent to the U.S. State Department the first time. The second time I had to apply for a passport, because my first one was stolen down here by another American, by the way, I got to sit down. You'll love this story. Sorry, Ed, to keep you on hold there, brother. But I got to sit down with the girl that is in charge of the passport office at the embassy in Buenos Aires, and not only hand it to her, but explain it to her. And she looked at me and she said, Roger. She didn't like me too much, I promise you. She said, Roger, we've dealt with other U.S. nationals before, but we've never dealt with one like this. And I said, well, you take that on back down to the embassy and you show it to them. And they sent me the temporary passport, and then I used it again the third time a year later when I changed that temporary passport into another 10-year passport. So this isn't something I've done once. This is something I've done three times.
Roger, you're so close to this. We got to pause for a second, okay? When you say it and you had her take it, you're talking about the affidavit that you filed in the county recorder's office in Florida. Years ago, correct?
In 1992, correct.
Okay,
it's reposted in the book. It's reprinted in the back of my book.
Outstanding. Okay. I just want to make for listeners clear what you're talking about because you're moving kind of fast, and so they understand. And the reason that quote you read was so important is that when it comes time for a court of justice back here, if you will, in America, it's saying the passport isn't supreme. It's the evidence behind this passport that is supreme, correct?
That's right. And declaration. You know, see, this comes back to the absolute concept that's the basis of our entire American legal system and legal systems all over the world, and that's due process. And due process is notice and the right to be heard. And when I filed that affidavit in the county property records in Bay County, Florida 20 years ago, and nobody objected with an affidavit in kind that trumped the facts that I'd put out there, then my affidavit stood. And it stood for 20 years against the highest authorities these Satanists have. And any affidavit that goes unrebutted is considered truth. An affidavit is the highest, an unrebutted, correctly formed and drawn up affidavit is the highest form of truth in law.
I'm with you. Let's go to Ed, who's been holding. I think we're going to have Ed Brotherton on. Is he with us?
Ed, you still there, buddy, or have we put you on?
I'm still here, man. I'm still here.
Okay.
You guys hear me all right?
Yeah, man. Well, you're a little garbled, but we can hear you.
Great. Listen, it's a great show and great information. I just have a question for you, though. I was looking up, as far as the national status,
yes.
I was looking up the U.S. Code under Title 8, Section 1408.
Don't look in the U.S. Code. That's for slaves. Go look in the statutes at large, the Nationality Act of 1941. I'll send it to Tom and Tori, and they can put it on their website. It tells you exactly who a national is. It's a person who owes complete allegiance to the United States of America.
Someone who United States of America versus the United States,
Corporation. Correct.
Okay. All right. Great. Nationality Act of 1941?
19. They slipped it in World War II. See, they brought this feudal system in the 30s in the Depression, March the 9th. Then they waited until World War II started, and what did they shove through immediately? The Nationality Act, where they hid the other status, and the United Nations.
Gotcha.
Now, do you see? I'm ripping the face off of your enemy here. I'm showing you how they do things.
So the U.S. Code itself is not to be referenced by those who are not domiciled in the D.C.
Well, if you'll go look, and it's a good question, Ed, and it's good for the audience. You know, what we're talking about here is a simple phrase of jurisdiction. Who, mm-hmm. how, what gives them the right to make those laws and enforce them on me? Now, that is jurisdiction. It comes out of the feudal era. Protection for allegiance, allegiance for protection. Rights, duties, allegiance, protection. Same deal. Okay?
Right.
And if you go to them and you don't rebut this presumption, they presume you're their property and they move forward on you. You know, I hear people all the time on radio shows going, well, they're tromping on my constitutional rights. Well, hey, buddy, you don't know what you're talking about. First of all, the Constitution doesn't give you any rights. God gives you rights, and the Constitution protects them. And if you can't differentiate between constitutional rights and God-given rights, you got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to go in and tell them which system of rights and duties you live under. Now, you know, Corey was talking about a common law citizen certificate at the first of the show, right, Corey?
Yeah, it's just a form of identification that somebody in 1850 would readily use.
Yeah, okay, well, let me give you a better one. Why don't you go do your declaration and go get your passport and go down to the driver's license division and get a non-resident driver's license issued from the state?
Well,
because that's in every uniform traffic code in the country, too.
Yeah, the non-resident driver's license, I'd like to know about that because I'm very familiar with the application for a driver's license in California. And the list of certifications that they require you to sign, in fact, in one spot, Roger, it says that you have to be the person on the application and that you do transfer your domicile to the United States by getting any type of license or identification card with the DMV. So if there's some other application that doesn't include that wording, and they
issue a
non-resident driver's license, I'd be curious to see that.
I've seen it in the Oklahoma codes, and remember how we discussed everything's uniform. If it's
right.
Uniform, it's in all 50 of them, okay? And in Oklahoma, we found it, and a guy who's probably listening today, Roman, one of my buddies I've met along the way here down there in Waco, he found it in the Texas law, driver's license laws. There is a contingency in there for a non-resident driver's license, but you know what the requirements are. You have to be a national, and your parents had to be nationals. Now, you see, they're telling you right there what it is, because your parents had to be nationals. That's the hereditament. If your parents were both born in the country and you were born from them, you're a national, brother. But they hide it in these terms.
Roger, I want to recap real quick what Ed, his question was, and because I may have missed it myself. Ed, you were referencing which source?
I was referencing Title 8 of the United States Code, Section 1401 and 1408.
Correct. Well, you know, when you walk in a law library, there's two sets of law books there. There's the United States Code over on the right, and there's the statutes at large over there on the left. All right. Now, the statutes at large, there's a whole bunch of dust on them because not too many people look over there. But if you go back to Volume 1, you know the first documents that are in that set of books?
Yeah, you got the you got basically the founding documents right there.
You got the Declaration of Independence. You got the Articles of Confederation. You've got the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who do you think those law books pertain to? They must still be active. They still annotate them. They still update them. They don't do that just to keep the guys at the printing office employed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You see, the irony of this is like it says in the Bible, they will lend to you and you will be the borrower, right? Well, now we're the property and they're the nobles. They're the ones that are assuming this status. Why do you think people say there's two sets of laws, one for them and one for us? Because Satan's children now are taking God's rights.
Mm-hmm.
They left this loophole in here because they had to make the system legitimate and because they want to use it.
Mm-hmm. But
for those of you who are looking, you might want to check out John Rowland's website, constitution.org. He does have the volumes 1 through, up into the hundreds now, but going back to statutes at large, number 1 is downloadable PDFs. So,
In the next break, I'll try and look through and get that exact. But I'll send you the Nationality Act, Todd, and you can post it. And there's music.
Yeah,
be back on the other side. It's right there. See, if you understand the basics, you can see it real easy. But if you don't know these basics, it go right past you.
Thanks for calling in, Ed. Hold on, folks. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
No problem. Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. Thank you, Ed.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5, or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit hempusa.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Welcome back. It's amazing that we're able to have this conversation. We've got Corey out in California. I'm here broadcasting from Iowa. We've got Roger Sales down in Argentina, and we're able to connect like this. And we're really appreciative of the good folks at RBN, Republic Broadcasting Network, and all the work they do to allow this type of dialogue to happen. And want to welcome all the listeners on the No Agenda stream as well. So I think that we have another caller on hold, but Roger, you want to say something? Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to finish what I started there in giving you this juxtaposition between the problem that these people had when they set this system up, because there's only, you know, two of these statuses, and, you know, it's only primary basic logic that if you're not one, you got to be the other. So in your documentation, if you're so moved to do this, you don't go in and tell them what you are, which is a common complaint that a lot of us have, really, that we do, is we get up there and tell them what we are, then you got to defend it. Well, go up there and tell them what you're not and let them decide what you are. Okay? So see, it's a difference in approach, and I tell you that you're totally enslaved in your mind in the way that they've conditioned us. What you got going here is a really high-end Pavlovian, Freudian, Skinner psychological brainwash operation that they're working on you from the time you're born. Okay? How many shows on TV do you see about European feudalism there, Todd?
Could you repeat that question? What?
How many shows have you seen in your lifetime on European feudalism?
Oh,
I mean, when you know, sitcoms and documentaries and stuff.
Right.
Have you seen very many of those?
No, they're not. They're not pumping those out.
All right. Well, how many have you seen on black slavery?
A lot.
You think that they might want to condition your thinking is to slavery and to blacks, and not this other variety of slavery? Maybe.
Fair point.
Okay. Absolutely. So let me go back here to this IRS thing, because we were talking about regulations and what gives them the right to make and enforce those laws on me, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you'll go, you know, we're talking about the two different sets of law books, the U.S. Code on one side, statutes at large on the other. Underneath the U.S. Code, those 50 titles, of which he wanted to read out of 8, which is immigration. Underneath that, there's a whole set of another, these little pamphlet books called the Code of Federal Regulations. And those are all the alphabet soup agencies that are going to come enforce the new public policy to on the serfs. I mean, you know, you don't go deal with your congressman for passing these laws. You deal with OSHA, IRS, EPA, all the other alphabet soup agencies, right? If you want to understand the system, the key to understanding the system is the administrative agencies. Because they can only administrate or regulate certain entities. How did I get to be an entity that they regulate?
And Roger, for clarification, you're talking about the Code of Federal Regulations as a subsidiary of the United States Code in terms of where it's...
Well, now what you've got, how many times have you heard the term public policy, Todd?
Many.
Have you ever wondered what the heck that is?
Sure.
All right. Well, when they pass a law, it goes into the statutes at large. Then it gets shuffled over to the agencies so they can write code. It changes over to code. They change it over to the code, and then the agencies write regulations, and that's how they change law into public policy.
Mm-hmm.
Because public policy is for the slaves. Law is for the capital C citizens.
Right at the website for the state of Iowa, where they have the Constitution listed there, they say it was codified after a certain date. So
yep.
They took the law and they codified it.
Well, why do you think they call it code? So you can't understand it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, let me go back here to these regulations and these administrative agencies. This is important stuff here. If you go to the agencies, we know that they do what? They regulate and administrate, correct? Over an entity, a group of entities, all right? So how do they say that you are one of these people I regulate? Well, they have a jurisdictional statement. Where's the jurisdictional statement? It's in the Code of Federal Regulations on the first page, every one of those 50 titles, except one. And do you know who the regulated entities are in all of those titles, guys?
Residents.
Correct. You go to the head of the class, Todd.
Well, I read your book, so it helps.
Yes, I feel like Patton and Rommel. Hey, you stupid sumbitch, I read your book, you know, when he was beating him up there. but yeah, residents, and I said except for one, right?
Yep.
And what's the one? Title 26. So
IRS.
Why would that one, Title 26, be different from the other 49? So they could leave a loophole for themselves, and they had to write it that way to be constitutional to pass muster. So let's go back and look at IRS's jurisdictional statement with the one exception out of the whole 50 titles, okay? And that is that 1.1-1A. That's pretty much at the front of the book, isn't it? 1.1-1A.
Yep.
General rule. 1. Section 1 of the code imposes an income tax on the income of every individual who is a citizen or resident of the United States, and to the extent provided by Section 871B, and 877B on the income of a non-resident alien individual. Now, everybody would know that's a U.S. national, wouldn't you? I mean, you'd just know it right off, wouldn't you?
Not necessarily.
So the difference
is very apparent.
Making the connection to a non-resident alien and a U.S. national, that they're one and the same?
We're going to go into it in depth after this break.
Awesome.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure.
Forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Common Sense Revisited. So, Corey, can you encapsulate for us where Roger's going with this?
Well, from what I understand right now, Roger has an affidavit that says he is a non-U.S. citizen national, an American national.
No, that's not.
Is that correct, Roger?
No, it's not correct. I don't tell him what I was because I didn't know what I was, but I knew what I wasn't.
Okay, so your affidavit on the passport, what I'm getting at is you've got where we're getting to is the non-resident alien statement, and on your passport application, you have attached an affidavit to that, right?
Yes, and that, by the way, in my affidavit is a statement that I am considered a non-resident alien under Title 26 1.1-1A, and that has never been rebutted by the IRS on my affidavit or the other 100,000 or more like it that they've received over the years, and neither has the State Department in three times. They, every bureaucratic agency that I have had any contact with since I've come to the understanding here has absolutely been over and done everything I ask. And I will tell you, and I want to go back to this IRS and this non-resident thing because this is important, okay? But let me digress just for a second. If I had a seminal moment in this whole process, it's this. When I went the first time to get my first passport, I had scoured everything, man, and I had everything in a little pile, a tight little pile, okay? And it says in those instructions, if you don't have a picture ID, you can bring someone with you that's known you for 2 years that does have one. That's right in the instructions. I didn't have a picture ID because a driver's license, at that time, I thought proved residency. Because that's the first question they ask you. I just didn't understand you could say no back then. And that's what I'm going to explain to you. So at the post office, we walk up to the window and the guy looks over and it was a very attractive young lady that I knew there in Panama City. And so I had her with me. Her name's Milena. And Milena and I walked up to the window. And before I ever even said a word, that guy looked over at her as we were walking up the window and he said, "This guy knows what he's doing." And I looked at him, I said, "Yes, I do, as a matter of fact." And so I plop all my information down there, and he starts going through the application, and he goes, "It says here, I need a picture ID." And I said, "Well, the instructions, I don't have one. It says I should bring her. That's what she's here for." And he says, "Wait a minute." He turns around and picks up this big red book off the shelf, one of those three-ring binder books, right? And he puts it, and he turns to me, and he says, "This is on." The second time in 8 years I've ever had to refer to this book. And he thumbs through there for a minute, and he says, "It says right here, I don't have to accept that, and I can make you go get one, and that's what I'm going to do." Typical bureaucratic attitude, right? And so she turns to me, and she goes, "Well, my kids got Florida State IDs 2 weeks ago. Let's go get one of those." And I said, "Let's go." So they're in Panama City. It's small. Everything's fairly close. It's a few blocks away. By the time we got to the driver's license division, state of Florida, all right, I had realized that I had the affidavit with me that had been posted in the property records in that county for 15 years, and it had been notarized, and I had my birth certificate with me. So I had to have the ID to get it notarized years earlier. So when we go to the traffic division, they got a gatekeeper there that lets you through to the clerks. And so by that point, I could explain that to him, and he goes, "Go on through." So I go back to the ID lady, and I plop that affidavit down. It's a 5-page affidavit. Before she says a word, she picks that thing up and starts scanning it into the scanner next to her, changing the pages and asking me the questions. And she goes, "Well, Mr. Sales, are you a citizen of the United States?" I said, "No." She said, "Are you a resident?" I said, "No." She asked me the other questions. She finishes scanning it. She says, "That'll be $4, Mr. Sales. Step over there and get your picture taken." And right then, buddy, the light bulb came on. And I said, "The whole damn thing is voluntary."
Well, we certainly agree with it being voluntary, but I'm curious.
So I got a state license. I got a state of Florida picture ID, not a driver's license. I'm certain now it's the same procedure. And I took it back to the post office. I showed him my picture ID. He sent the application to Washington. I didn't have a Social Security number on it. He says, "They won't send you one without a Social Security number." I said, "You watch them." Boom. A couple of weeks later, bam, passport in my hand. The whole system is voluntary. This is like Al Adask and I. I'm on weekly with Al Adask on Tuesdays, and Al has had the same experience. You got to volunteer into hell. Satan doesn't come and say, "Todd, Corey, I'm taking you boys. You got to volunteer into this shooting match."
So, Roger, to recap briefly, though, what you did when you applied for your passport that was unique and different was that you didn't volunteer that you were any of the entities they were asking you if you were. You just said, "I'm not any of those things," but you never said what you were.
Correct. Well, see, they don't ask you what you are on the passport application because you got a choice.
Okay, but I just want to clarify.
Yeah, they ask you if your parents were citizens of the United States. They never ask you to declare any kind of status except that nebulous dual status in the oath where you are signing under penalty of perjury that you're one or the other. So they're asking you to tell them. Well, if you don't tell them, what do you think the presumption is?
Well, they're going to presume a U.S. citizen.
Of course they are. Of course they are. So let's go back to this IRS thing, okay? The one different title is 26, and we talked about, and the other is this non-resident alien. Well, we mentioned earlier, this is why these basics are so important, guys. We already talked about that you only get your rights from one or two places. You get them from man or from God. Well, there's only two statuses, therefore, and there's only two statuses here, but they change the names. What is a non-resident alien? Because the minute you hear that or read it, you automatically think it's Jose out there behind your house picking tomatoes. Right?
A lot of people do. Absolutely.
Of course. That's the first thing that comes to your mind because of the word alien. But the key word there is resident. Now, you don't have to go to a fancy law dictionary. You can go to a Webster's Collegiate Dictionary and look under the term resident. And it's going to have several definitions there. And the first one says, the act or fact of living or dwelling in a place for some time. Now, that's the geographical definition. And yes, that's the colloquial definition. And yes, that's the one they've buffaloed us on. Because when people ask you that question, are you a resident, you think it means I live over there. And it does, in a sense, but they're imputing a technical legal definition, and that's the next one in Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. And it says, the act or fact of living or dwelling in a place for some time for the receipt of a benefit or the discharge of a duty. We talked about benefits and duties a little earlier, didn't we? We call them rights. There's the legal definition of resident. Hell, it's in the collegiate dictionary. Mm-hmm. So your answer to that question is, are you a resident, is, are you using that term in a geographical or a legal connotation? And I can tell you, if there's another group of books in the law library called Words and Phrases. And if you'll go in and find that, they take every word and phrase in a court case that's been important, and they put it in there and the court case that it appeared in. And if you'll go look in Words and Phrases under the word resident, you'll find one of those entries in that book that says any time the word resident is used in a legal context, its definition is always political. Always. No exceptions. They're not asking you where you live. They're asking you which system of law you're under.
Well, you
now,
know,
if,
go ahead, Corey.
If you don't mind me playing devil's advocate just for
no,
a moment.
No, I don't at all, Corey.
Now, we definitely have a meeting of the minds when it comes to how dangerous it is to be identified as a resident, especially in the political context.
Yes.
But this is a common law country. That's the system of law that we have here. And in common law,
not anymore.
You have to act to acquire domicile.
There's only one common law court in the country, Corey. All the rest of these are administrative courts that are nothing more than manorial courts, the same that they used on the feudal manor in Europe for 1,000 years. If you'll look in the first of any court case, in the first sentence, they make their declarational statement. They say, Corey, a resident of such and such a street, blah, 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 is charged with blah, 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 blah. That's their jurisdictional statement. If you don't object to that, they got every right to do anything they want to you.
Well, I agree with you if you don't object to it. My personal thing is in California here, I just don't participate in the administrative courts. I've got a video on that.
And you shouldn't, because none of those laws are made for you. They're all made for residents.
Right.
And well, if you're not one of those, then they don't apply to you.
Agreed. But the thing that I found really fascinating was in the beginning, something that I know is going to be very valuable in the way I approach things now was what you talked about, that formula, R plus D equals remedy. And
yeah.
Rights plus duties equals remedy. And the portion I want to play devil's advocate on is how you identify yourself. I completely comprehend of how you went down without identifying yourself as or being nailed down to anything. But if you had to identify your domicile, where would you put that now?
Well, that's a good question, and the word is domicile, no question about it. I don't want to reside anywhere in a legal definition. I would say it's probably in Florida, I guess. I'd probably be here because I like it so much here. I doubt that I'll ever move back. You know, and these are, that's what I'm saying. Do you see the confusion in your mind? It is in these words. Now, what they're doing, I think, guys, and I wanted to talk about this, so let me transition into this, and then I'd like to come back to this non-resident alien thing. What they're doing is, I believe, they're playing the differential in reaction time between your subconscious and your conscious mind using the total 180-degree opposite definition of words. Because the subconscious mind controls 90% approximately of your day and your body functions and everything that's going on. Your conscious mind works slower and only concerns 10% of everything that's going on. And I think they come in, and let me use a good example that I use, is the word gay. All right. And they've taken something that for most people, they absolutely find that a despicable lifestyle. All right. And so some of you might not. God bless you if that's the way you feel. Most people find that to be an ungodly lifestyle, all right? And so they take a word that's for 150 years had a positive connotation, and they take a total negative connotation, and they start blistering you with it. TV, radio, print, gay, gay, gay. And pretty soon your subconscious mind takes on that positive definition to a negative feeling and transfers that to your conscious mind. And I think that's what's going on with all this stuff.
Well, very, I would agree with you that in the mainstream media, all the television shows, we see that all the time in music, all sorts of things. In fact, that's referenced just recently by a judge. Who it's a viral video that's gone up. I don't know if you've seen it. A girl who was very flippant and disrespectful to a judge. He sentenced her to 30 days for contempt of court. But when they came back in, one of the things the judge mentioned was her conduct in the courts is prevalent in society, that it's prevalent in the music and it's prevalent
sure.
in everything. And that I was really impressed that the judge, who personally was insulted by this girl,
made that comment.
Took the time when he had every right to just throw the book at her for being just a disrespectful little resident. He took the time to really explain to her the implications of not guarding your mind from these problems in society.
You know, Tepper Sossi told me one thing. I spoke with him before he died, and we were talking about his book, Rulers of Evil, and I was trying to explain these concepts to him. And he said, no, Roger, don't you understand? They can only rule evil. Now, that is a profound statement, and it has stuck with me for way over 10 years, okay? They can only rule evil. So that's why they turn everything to evil.
You know, I'd, if you don't mind me throwing out just a different way of wording that, I've found personally that they guard jealously the status of honor versus dishonor, that they would like to accomplish their evil things but remain in honor when it comes to the paperwork, the courts.
Well, that's exactly what Jesus said. He said, you're whitewashed sepulchers. You always put yourself in the best seats in the synagogue. It's the same thing today. It's the same thing going on that went on 2,000 years ago. You're under the Babylonian monetary system, and you're under the Babylonian merchant code, now called the Uniform Commercial Code. And I can prove that to you. Okay. Hey, you guys have me on here again. We'll get into this stuff in more depth, and I'll show you how to differentiate all this stuff. It's easy, but you have to understand and have a working command of these basics. Law, resident. We haven't even discussed the word person yet, okay? But let me go back to this non-resident alien thing, because I don't want to leave that hanging. It's important. We know there's two statuses. One rights from God, the other the rights from man. Okay, there's no other place you can get rights. All right, and in that non-resident alien code, now we know a resident is somebody who, if you look at the 14th Amendment, it says, all persons born or naturalized in the United States, comma, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, comma, are citizens of the United States and the state wherein they reside. And that's the first time that word is used in the Constitution. Okay? So, if you're a resident, you're a 14th Amendment citizen.
I don't think there's any question about that.
Well, I want to go into that more on the other side of this.
All righty. We'll be right back, folks. We'll revisit some more common sense. Roger Sales, Corey I, right after this break. Stay tuned.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
to state our disposition properly. And I apologize to the folks who've been on hold, callers who've been calling in, and we just aren't going to get to you, unfortunately, before the end of the show. So we're going to have Roger back on and do more callers next time. So
I would like to do that, and I'd love to hear the callers' questions. But, you know, it's, as I told y'all, it's important to get these basics down, you know. And, like, covering this one thing right there, how many people have read the Internal Revenue Code, for Lord's sakes, and seen that and put that mind trick where they throw your mind off on another tangent? So we talked a bit about resident and what that word means. I showed you it's in the 14th Amendment. So that means if you tell them, they ask you you're a resident, and you say yes, you're reconfirming the fact that you are their property. Okay? So in that term, non-resident alien, if you're not a resident or a 14th Amendment federal citizen, then you're a non-14th Amendment federal citizen, aren't you? And we know there's only two places that you can get your rights, so that means you're the other one, and that means that status is alien to the federal 14th Amendment status, and that's how they're using that word. And if you want proof of it, you can go back over to the law library, a federal depository near you, and go back in the book that has Treasury decisions. Because you see, whenever a Supreme Court case on income tax is decided, the Treasury Department writes a Treasury decision to tell the department the disposition of the case. And that decision is TD, Treasury Decision 2314. And the Secretary of the Treasury was a guy named McAdoo. And the case was Bush Haber versus Union Pacific Railroad. And in the first sentence of that Treasury decision, it says, Frank Brushaber, a citizen of the state of New York and a non-resident alien. Now, that's coming from the Secretary of the Treasury.
Fascinating.
Okay, so now, do you see, when they were setting the system up, the problem they had? There's only two statuses in the taxing code. They gotta hide it. They can't put in the taxing code all people that are citizens of the United States and residents, and the exception of these two sections here for U.S. nationals, because then people are going to read and go, well, what the heck's a U.S. national? They're only liable for two sections. But they can't go to the passport application and say, I swear under penalty of perjury, I'm a citizen of the United States or a non-resident alien. And people are going to go, what the hell's a non-resident alien doing applying for a passport?
Mm-hmm. So, Roger, let me ask you this. Do you consider then a non-resident alien to be one of the people domiciled in one of the states?
I consider a non-resident alien, and that term, and this is important, and I'm glad you asked that question, because people hear this information, and they go off half-cocked going, I'm a non-resident alien. You're a non-resident alien in relation to Title 26 only.
Okay. So, go ahead, Corey.
Oh, no, well, I was curious about the answer on domicile. Like, how does that, for your status, where do you identify your domicile to be?
And well, my address is really that I use for communication stuff is in Florida, and the one I don't use here. I mean, I just rent an apartment. But as long as you've made your declaration, it doesn't matter. As long as the State Department's.
Well, it looks like we're getting at the end of the show, Roger.
I think they're telling us, you think?
it's actually Treasury Decision 2313. I'll have links up at Third Rail Blog, thirdrailblog.com. We'll have links to information we learned today. We'll see you next week. Thanks a lot.
Sure did enjoy it, guys. Thanks.
Here.